Hey, my name is Launders, and you're listening to TCR.
Are you ready?
Hello, hello, and welcome everyone to another episode of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. Episode 54, coming at you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location, the date March 22nd, 2017, 9:22 p.m. I'll be one of your hosts. My name is Tim, at Pirate Mushroom on Twitter, if you're interested in that kind of stuff. My two co-pilots for today, you have Brett, at Dallas Homer. Hello, sir.
What's up?
You have Anuj, at Spiffy underscore VR. What's up?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
You guys ready for this?
Let's do it.
Born ready.
Because this is going to be the best episode we have ever recorded. Follow the show at The Center Ring. Get all the latest there. All the ongoings. You can follow us on our Discord. There's links out there. Apparently they're all broken. Just shoot us something on Twitter. I'll send you a link, I promise. But this is going to be the best episode ever. Why, you ask? Well, because E! News is moving to the back of the show yet again. We didn't like it at the front. So we're moving that to the back. We interviewed Zach Dixon of Players Lounge, a little company where you can kind of 1v1 your friends in Madden, FIFA, more games to come. He's a fan of the show, and he's kind of promoting some awesome stuff going on with Swansea City, the EPL team. So we had him on to discuss that. And to start the show, we're going to talk a little bit MLG Dallas. That just happened this last weekend. We watched majority of it there. Me and Brett went out there to kind of see the scene, see what that was going on, meet a friend. And man, we kind of previewed the MLG Dallas for the Call of Duty tournament last weekend, which was kind of a brief preview, or more so us venting the fact that there's just nothing out there to preview for. And so we decided to watch it. Clearly, we are not like Call of Duty aficionados. We're not going to even pretend that we know everything to do with Call of Duty.
Fair statement.
But we still, I feel like, have enough to appreciate the game. And man, for someone, like I said, I don't watch a whole lot of Call of Duty. I was in Detroit. I flew back today. We weren't even supposed to do the show, but I was like, no, I need to talk about MLG Dallas. I was like, I cannot go another day without talking about MLG Dallas, because, to be honest, pretty entertaining.
I know. I was
captivated.
Pleasantly surprised.
The wife was taking a nap at the hotel, and I was like, okay, just take your nap. I'm on vacation. Let's go do stuff. But no, I was actually really... I was really captivated by the tournament.
E-United and Optic have learned how to put on a show. I mean, these guys have had some really, really great matchups recently.
You could just say E-United.
Well, it's been versus Optic.
It has been versus Optic, but for some whatever reason, E-United is captivating no matter what, or no matter who they're playing. Right. But are they the underdogs, or do they just carry that flag?
Well, they're rookies. So that's kind of a big deal, right? Aren't they like a rookie team, as far as I know?
Rookier than the most. So, you know, they're not FaZe or Optic or anything like that. But still, I mean, when they met Optic in the grand finals here. Like, at what point is it almost like, is it because they're not Optic Gaming? Is that why they're the underdog?
Yeah, and I mean, almost reverse sweeping them twice, dude. Man.
Good. So if you look at the finals, yes, Optic, you know, it took it to them, but like you said, it almost went the other way.
Yeah, I mean, Optic was up 2-0 in both rounds. And United reverse sweeped in the first match. And then Optic again up 2-0. They brought it back to 2-2. And then Optic showed that they're Optic and they just wiped the floor with them in Search and Destroy. But it was fun to watch. I mean,
and that's where I think a lot of it came into play, because you had Search and Destroy where I think Optic just dominated.
Oh god.
E United had no answers for Search or Destroy. The ball game.
Uplink.
Thank you. I don't know why.
That was my favorite part of the tournament.
Uplink, man. I felt like that is where Optic was struggling all tournament, though. Like, it wasn't just the one.
Yeah.
Like, against E United, it was even just any. I mean, clearly they won. So when I say struggle, take it with a grain of salt. But that's where Optic, I think, if you want to find that hole that you can attack them on, it's Uplink. That's where you have to take Optic in.
Yeah.
Because that's where they were struggling. I will say this, and maybe I'm get off my lawn on this one, and maybe it's just a console thing, or maybe it's they don't do it in CSGO as much. There seems to be a lot of smack talk.
Yeah, it's you know what it is? Call of Duty, they remind me of like Raider fans. Because they are relentless. They are relentless. You know, throwing up the choke sign and just like all up in E United's face.
Dude, just standing up yelling, and then Optic will yell, which gets their fans wild up.
I like it.
It is a hostile territory.
I like it.
It's almost polar opposite of CS.
See, so I'm going to play, like I said, I'm very old man, get off my lawn here. Because
usually I'm with you.
And usually I'm the one who's like, dude, just lay it on them. Like, talk as much smack as you want. This is what it's about. It makes me uncomfortable. It makes me uncomfortable for whatever reason in esports when someone gets that fired up and talks like, not like playful smack, but just goofy smack talking where it's like, what are you going to do, man? Like, just go play. Or like in this case, when you're FaZe and then you get kicked out. Like, I loved it when FaZe would stand up and just yell and talk trash to Optic or E United, and then they end up losing to both. And then it's kind of like, okay, well, now you look like an idiot, which is any type of risk when you're talking smack.
I felt like every COD team had that, like Clayster on FaZe, and then you had, not formal, dude, he is like stoic, but Skump on Optic. You have those fiery guys, and I like it. I enjoy it. I don't know.
I would have more of an issue if this was happening in League or Dota, and they were getting up and yelling at each other. But for this, it works. You know, they get hype. You know, they're into it. You don't see it in Counter-Strike because you're separated, and you don't really see that intensity amongst one another.
I don't think it happens, though. I don't think it happens in general. Like, you get the playful banter. I don't think, though, this is like blood in their eyes. Like,
they're meeting in the finals.
Aggressive.
Two out of the last three tournaments.
It's just a different crowd. I mean, you know, like how we always say, the fighting game community, the FGC, that's also the crowd is crazy. They will talk smack to the pros while on stage. It's all the same. I also think it's just Optic Gaming. And again, personal opinion aside, I enjoy watching them lose because of that. I just like, I'm weird in the sense that I get pleasure out of seeing people being disappointed, and it's the whole rooting against, you know, Green Bay or whatever, right? It's rooting against the favorite because you know, or like, that's why I love seeing New England win.
Oh.
The Patriots winning the Super Bowl was just beautiful to me because it made so many people upset. I'm like, yes, I love it. And here it's the opposite, to where it's like, Optic won. People are so happy, and they're just talking smack, and it's like...
That's a compliment to Optic. If you're like the Yankees
true,
or the
though.
Duke
yeah,
basketball
true.
Of the
it's
community...
It's true. I'm not trying to be like, I enjoy watching Optic lose because F Optic, right? I'm saying it's because they can talk the smack and back it up.
Yeah.
As opposed to FaZe, where, yes, they definitely did talk a lot of smack, but then they did find great, awkward pleasure in the... running back with your tails in between your legs.
And the COD community's kind of had that stigma before, so that doesn't help to see it come out from the pros either.
It doesn't help because you are right, yeah. Is it COD or console?
You think...
Whatever. I mean, I think
It's COD the same. It's one the same in the pro scene.
We played COD back in the day, and we play CS, we play Overwatch. The COD community puts to shame the Counter-Strike and Overwatch community.
They'll tell you words you never knew.
Oh my god, that's what I told a friend. I'm like, all right, if your kids play this game online, headset.
No,
don't let them have a headset.
Your kid will grow up a lot faster than what you were planning. Daddy, why does this guy say he knows mommy? Like, it's like, it just doesn't bode well.
Kind of like playing 1.6 with the sprays. You had to have a way to blur out everything.
1.6 with the sprays. Young Tim grew up, man.
Oh, real quick.
He'd be like, go ahead and block some websites, Mom. I'm just going to go play Counter-Strike. join that one server on my favorites list, and all right, let's do this. Go ahead.
Yeah. All right. So there's one thing, and let me tell me what you guys think. I'm struggling with words today about the double dip. All right. I'm not a fan of it. During MLG, EUnited had to beat Optic twice. Right. That's how it worked. So if Optic would have won that first match, it would have been over right there.
Right.
And EUnited had to beat them twice. I don't like that. I don't like championship games that have to end like
that. But it makes sense.
Maybe we just structure the tournament in a way where that doesn't happen.
Yeah, but think about, but how would you do that in a double elimination tournament? That's why it's like that. You have a winners and you have a losers. If you restructured the championship game and say EUnited beat Optic the first time and then all of a sudden they win everything, people are going to have a fit
there
because Optic was only allowed to lose once out of that entire tournament. This is the only fair way where technically this is how it happened. So Optic played FaZe, okay, in the winner's bracket. Optic beat FaZe, so FaZe moved to the loser's bracket where they played EUnited in the loser's bracket final.
Who already had a loss at
because they were in the loser's bracket. Then EUnited beat FaZe, who then met Optic Gaming in the finals. So in the finals, you have Optic Gaming and EUnited, who already has one loss on their record.
Yeah.
So that's why.
I know that, but it's still, it just felt kind of anticlimactic.
I'm kind of with you on this because I don't like the format, but I understand why they get to that point. It's the only fair way to do it. So if you're in this format, I agree with they have to lose twice. I'm just not a big fan of the format in general.
And I for this type of thing, I don't really like it. I mean, like Super Smash Brothers, that's how they do almost all of their tournaments from what I can recall. And it's awesome to see someone in the loser's bracket come back and beat that winners twice.
Well, United did that just two tournaments ago in Dallas.
Exactly. They were in the loser's bracket.
Optic did it. I'm sorry. Optic went into the loser's bracket. Yeah. And roll through and made the
and
comeback.
And that's what makes those crazy. Yeah. That's what makes those really good storylines. So I don't hate that. The only way to get around that is to have pool play.
And then
you qualify for a bracket tournament single elimination.
Yeah.
That's the only way.
We probably all like that because we're coming from the CS community. That's what we see.
Yeah, maybe we're a little get off my lawn there, but I mean,
that's how you do it.
Yeah.
And you can also do that with Counter-Strike because the matches don't match. You cannot do this with CSGO.
Oh, no.
If you did a
no.
best of three and then a possible another best of three right after, like, no. That
snooze.
Would,
even
yeah,
these
no.
best of fives are so long. You know, as a viewer right. to watch, I get it. It's fun, but...
But when it goes to that fifth map, I mean, even for someone who loves the game, you're like, dude...
When you're married and with the job, you don't have time to watch five games. Even three is like, oh my gosh, hopefully this ends in two.
I'm guilty of it where... Again, you know, when you're married and you got to pick your battles, in a best of five, I will skip the first two, and I will come for the third, which is possibly the elimination
deal breaker. Yeah,
yeah. I will skip the first two matches because when it comes to it, I don't have right now. Like, dude, I just watched an entire tournament for a week. I cannot convince my wife to give me 4 hours on a Sunday.
Not happening.
No,
I got a honey-do list longer than I can. I can't even count that high.
Nah, guys, I'm like, you know what? Listen here, Linz.
Yeah, that's exactly.
I am the man. I run this house. I will watch what I want to watch, woman.
That's exactly why you said, "Uh-oh,
my wife." I gotta get out of here. Yeah,
we're starting late tonight, guys. My wife's gonna be mad.
I know what you're talking about, Tim.
So overall, I'm very happy with Call of Duty MLG Dallas. Optic won, which I did predict in the preview. Not bold. Like that's like a bold prediction. I think that's a pretty safe bet. One cool thing in the tournament is that they did lose their map streak. So that's one positive there where, what was it, like 23 maps in a row or something like that? Optic won in a row. They didn't drop a map for like 23.
I watched a few of the matches in between, but I watched all the semis and finals, so I didn't catch that.
No, I think it was really good. I'll definitely have to pay more attention to it. Like I said, it was really entertaining, especially coming from someone who does not play Call of Duty anymore. Hung up my controller a long time ago when it came to caring about Call of Duty.
And something else that I liked about that tournament, the comms. I know that it can't be done in a lot of other esports, but the comms were awesome to listen to. Like, E-United, you know, them talking to each other, it was hectic, but still organized. Like, it just wasn't people just talking over each other. I mean, it felt, it was a cool experience to listen to what pros are saying during a match and organizing and kind of, you know, strategizing. And, you know, it was a nice touch.
I really do enjoy that, too. Like, when Gambit released their comms, it's just always fun to see their perspective and how their games are instead of the troll games we play in most of the time.
Yeah, and I get why it can't be, you know, done on other network because, you know, sponsors and what have you. And during the comms, there were some F-bombs dropped, but, I mean,
Only way you're going to get around that, and I don't know why they don't do... Okay, so before we get into the Zach Dixon interview, thank you for going down this route because it reminded me of something. The only way you're going to be able to do that is with a delay. Just like in radio, radio is on a delay. Mm-hmm. So when you did it, when you swear, like for example, right now, I'm looking at it. If we swore right now, I could hit a dump button and it dumps the last 20 seconds.
All right, Anoush, go crazy now.
Mother.
So you can dump it and it cuts off the last thing and then it will gradually put in a delay through your silence. So that's why this is getting into my normal day job now. So for all you listeners who are wondering why, that's why you kind of hear in radio, people all of a sudden randomly sound like robotic or like they're kind of talking through water. And it's because there was a delay and now it's getting ramped back down to have a delay because someone hit the dump button, meaning someone said something they weren't supposed to. So that's going into there. And that's the only way you're going to get those comms and stuff if you want it to be PG rated and everything for kids. But speaking of delays, so this... And this is how I had to watch this because I was watching on my phone and for whatever reason, MLG was not working on my phone. The app or the browser was kind of laggy. Hotel Wi-Fi, I don't know. So this was an MLG event. So the way MLG does their events is that they host it on their website. And then they will rebroadcast it, though, with like an hour or two delay.
Oh, it is insane.
It's really a big delay on Twitch.
Yeah, because like I was watching on Twitch originally. And there were people like spoiling stuff in the chat for other people. And I'm like, no, screw
if you
this.
Have Twitch chat that's up, your, that's your own fault.
That's your, problem.
It was funny.
In any tournament, you have Twitch chat open. That's on you.
I watched Twitch chat for the humor.
The Vax.
Yeah.
There's no humor in Twitch chat.
It's
You're a grown man.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever.
but that's the delay. So we kind of talked about this on the way up here, Anuj, where we don't really like YouTube gaming. It's just, it's weird. It's like off-brand watching. It just feels weird, and half the time
it doesn't feel like Twitch, and I love Twitch so much that it just doesn't have the same feel.
Not used to, and you forget that it's even there, so it's like, you'll see on Twitter, like, oh man, there's a match going on right now, and then it's YouTube. Same thing
with
MLG.
Too late by the time I find out half the time.
And there was like 40,000 something viewers on MLG. They did have a good number. I just wonder though, when they think about like trying to grow the brand, obviously it has sponsorships and MLG they do offer more. If you're watching it on MLG, they have like the stats and everything there. Mm-hmm. So that's good. You can click through, see some interesting stats. I'll at least they make it a different viewing experience. But is it worth it in the end where MLG has 40 or 50,000 viewers on MLG, where on Twitch, though, I would have to imagine they would get more people just because people like watching tournaments. Whether or not it's a game that they'd really like or not, if they see a grand finals, they're going to watch it.
You see a stream with 100,000 people on it, you're going to tune in just to see what the heck is going on
Right.
on Twitch.
You're going to get those window shoppers on Twitch. I feel like on MLG TV, the only people that were there were the people that knew to go to MLG TV.
It just depends on what your motive is, right? To grow the brand or grow your company. And if you're getting a nice, hefty financial incentive to go with YouTube gaming, it's hard to blame them ultimately of doing it. But yeah, I agree. I mean, having it on open platforms, whether it be both, you know, available to anybody, that would be the ideal way to go, because then you can pick your favorite.
But we did interview Zach Dixon from Players Lounge prior to recording the show. So we're going to play that interview for you now. Again, Players Lounge, he'll say it all in the interview, but it's basically a website you can go and challenge your friend for some cash on the line in FIFA or Madden or anything like that. It's actually very cool, and his story behind it is just as cool. So go ahead and give this interview a listen. After the interview, we'll come back. We'll do some e-news and send this piece off. Okay, and I said at the start that we might have Zach Dixon on from Players Lounge, and we have him on right now on the phone. He conveniently called us the second we started recording the show, so that's no problem. Zach, how are you doing today, sir?
Pretty darn good, Tim. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem, man. I know you contacted me on Discord like a week or so ago and you know, pitched the idea that Players Lounge is doing something with an EPL team, and you kind of wanted to come on to pimp that out, and I said, absolutely, it sounds pretty badass. Now, I don't want to put words in your mouth, though, so tell our listeners what Players Lounge is.
Sure. So Players Lounge, www.playerslounge.co, is a social gaming platform where you can play your favorite sports video games online for money in skill-based cash competitions against other players. So Tim and Anuj can square up in FIFA, Madden, or NBA for $1, $5, $10, $100 if they want. You guys play head-to-head, and then the winner takes the money.
So now that I want to get into what, you know, the Premier League and all, you know, I want to get into the big news of the day that, spoiler alert, Swansea announced it, that you partnered up with Swansea to do a FIFA tournament with them. And I'll get into that here in just a minute. But I'm more fascinated with, well, that's also fascinating, but I'm also fascinated with kind of how you guys started up, right? Because I appreciate, and you said it, the hustle that it took to start, where it's you and a group of friends, right?
Yeah, it was me and two of my teammates from college.
Because you played soccer, right, in college?
Yeah, myself and my two co-founders, we all played soccer at Wesleyan University. It's a small D3 college in Connecticut. And, you know, like, you can't drink every night in college, especially when you're an athlete. And so the nights before games, when we were just hanging out playing FIFA, every time we did that, we were betting money on who was going to win a game. And we tried to start the company in college, but we were, you know, stupid 20-year-old kids and didn't know how to pitch a legitimate investor.
You don't
let
say.
Alone get, yeah, exactly. Let alone get, you know, like a AAA studio to sponsor your company. So, yeah. So we tried to start it in college, you know, met like three times over Natty Lights, and then just, you know, kind of stopped, and then got back together after college to give it another go.
So when you say, I guess, being a college athlete that you are, back
so
then,
was.
Or well,
past
was.
Tense. Past tense.
Was.
And D3 nonetheless.
Hey, that's like three more D's than what I ever got. So you're way ahead.
Whoa, hold on there.
So
Jim just gets a lot of D.
Did you see it back then? I don't want to put an age on you, sir, but how long ago was that?
Well, I'm 27 years young,
okay.
About to be 28.
Oh.
So I graduated 2012. One of my co-founders was 2011, and the other was 2010. So
all right,
we're all
so,
in that
okay.
Sweet.
Me and you are the
late 20s.
Me and you are the young ones on this show, then. Just so you're aware,
oh
Anuj and Brett are old.
Hated.
You're right. No, we are the young ones
like
here.
Atari.
Yeah, I know, right? Hey, I'm wearing a T-shirt that says "Classically Trained." So.
So now, with that being said, did you see it back then as just you guys playing FIFA, or did you see that as, hey, this is an esport? Like, this could be something bigger than just putting money on a FIFA match?
Yeah, I mean, you know, back then, like, this is that kind of dark era in esports, right?
Right.
After MLG had highlights on ESPN with the Ogres. And, like, you know, I was a huge Halo player, but didn't really think it was going to blow up in the mid-early 2000s. So I wouldn't say that I was, like, you know, so genius to have the foresight in the late 2000s that esports was going to be a thing and to cultivate that. It's just that we really loved playing video games. We're competitive dudes. And we really like betting on games that we're competing in, you know? So my best friend from college and roommate, he was a pro Call of Duty and Gears of War player. So he introduced me to, like, the higher level competitive scene, not just like your LANs and pugs. And so I was like, oh, wow, like this really could be something. But I certainly didn't think it could be a career, let alone, you know, a startup enterprise.
Well, hey, Zach, so, you know, kind of going off that, what do you think is the biggest challenge, in your opinion, to get sports games, like, on the main stage of esports?
You know, frankly, I think the biggest issue is that the games aren't as interesting minute to minute and second to second. The skill ceiling for somebody to appreciate, you know, a double step over with Messi who bends it into the top corner in FIFA is nowhere near as interesting as like a, you know, Widowmaker headshot, like triple headshot back to back to back. They're just not even comparable. It's like watching, you know, baseball versus ice hockey. It's just like, it's not really comparable. And frankly, you know, we focus on sports, esports, but I'm much rather and prefer to play Overwatch and Clash Royale than I do FIFA, Madden, or NBA. It's just, that's what we saw that as an underserved market. And I certainly love those games. But when it comes to like big explosive esports, I don't know if, you know, FIFA is ever going to sell out a whole stadium for people to watch, you know, the top two players in the world compete with their FIFA Ultimate Team card packs together, you know?
No, that totally makes sense.
Yeah, and Zach, building off that, I read on your website that you plan on opening up to other games in the future. Any ideas on maybe some games that you're looking at adding to the site?
Yeah, so, you know, any game that has a big 1v1 following, you know, it could be 1v1 Counter-Strike, it could be Hearthstone, Clash Royale, StarCraft, any game that is 1v1 and can be played, you know, has a big audience in the millions, that's a game that we're interested in. You know, we also want to break into teams, you know, team-based games. Our business model is built on doing a high volume of games. And so the more games you can do, the more our business can thrive. And when you have, you know, when you require teams, 2v2, 3v3, 5v5, 6v6, it makes it much harder for the matchmaking and the skill pairing. Because if Anuj is a crack FIFA player and Tim, sorry buddy, is just not very good,
no, that's
only
going
to walk into the
point.
Bloodbath like you know
fair.
Once or twice, right? Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, you're not going to fool me again, right?
Right.
So that kind of thing.
This has kind of been recently in esports with last year or so where the gambling, right, the Counter-Strike gambling went through the roof and it was crazy and it really put kind of a negative light on betting in general with video games. Have you felt or have you seen any backlash from that? Well, I guess let me ask you first off.
Yeah, sure.
When you started this, do you guys view yourself as a gambling website?
No. No, we are not a gambling platform. And if Tim and Zach were to play each other 1v1 in basketball, now Tim, I played D3 soccer, but I'm also 5'8" 3/4" and Jewish, and I've never touched rim. I'm not good at basketball. So if you and I played 1v1 basketball, and you're pretty good, and I'm pretty bad, your skill is gonna beat me, you know, 9 or 99 out of 100 times. 9 out of 10, 99 out of 100 times. So the U.S. Supreme Court defines gambling. It allows every state to determine what is and is not gambling. And the majority of those states say how big of a factor is skill in the competition. And if that is the predominant factor, then it's not gambling. Some states, like my native state of Louisiana, they just outlawed completely. You can just basically look at any state in the country where DraftKings or FanDuel is not legal. That's a state where Players Lounge either can't, or maybe it's a little gray for us to operate.
Is there any plans to try to fight that in the future, or is that kind of on the back burners now, as we'll deal with it when we have the resources?
You know, DraftKings and FanDuel are spending a lot of money lobbying. And it's, you know, we have so we call our business skill-based cash gaming. I don't even consider what we do gambling, but I don't even say the G word, you know, because I just don't believe it is. So we have a lot more, you know, skill-based cash gaming matchups to be done before we could even think about hiring a lobbyist to go to the Louisiana, you know, Supreme Court and lobby on our behalf. It's something that, you know, investors wanted us to try and do. But we're just like, look, we're operating on a startup budget. My buddy and I are, you know, growing a business, but we're eating peanut butter and jelly and bagels, you know, a couple mm-hmm. times a day. Mm-hmm. And it's not on the radar for right now.
Well, as we all know, as gamers, this is 100% skill-based. Okay, if you're going heads-up 1v1 in Madden, FIFA, NBA, you know, it takes who's got the better skill at the end of the
Unless in FIFA I hit 8 posts in one match, then it's BS, all right?
And I feel like roulette at that time.
You're ruthless.
Go
ahead, buddy.
Well, I was going to say one thing that might help the cause in that is we talked about a couple episodes ago, which I think we all said it was a genius idea that 2K is starting this basketball league, right? None of us said anything bad about it. Definitely, for sure.
Lies. So, just so you know, Zach, I had your back on this.
But that's going to help where you have this giant developer with 2K Sports going into it, having their own league. That's going to legitimize a lot of that, I feel.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the CEO of Take-Two Interactive is an investor in Players Lounge. And that's actually a kind of a crazy story how it happened. But, you know, he's a really sharp dude and has helped grow 2K, Take-Two in a major way. I have a lot of faith in what they're doing.
Didn't Kobe and Rick Fox, like, join together to host some huge 2K tournament recently or not too long ago?
I forget who it was, but they had a lot of talent down in New Orleans this year at NBA All-Star. They did a 2K challenge or something like that.
Yeah,
and I think the winning team got like $250,000. And it wasn't just like 1v1. I believe it was like the 5v5 mold, because that's the model they're pushing in this NBA E-League.
Oh, okay.
That's actually kind of crazy.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not 1v1. It's 5 players playing against 5 players, and it's going to be like the E-Pelicans versus the E-Mavericks. And you're not playing as Anthony Davis and, I don't know, Dirk Nowitzki. You're playing as literally like Avatar, however Tim wants to set it up, and Avatar however Zach wants to set it up. So they're playing with created players on these E franchises.
All right, team of 7'11" players. Let's go, boys.
Exactly.
3.99. Just game over. Just sink it from way down court. So let's get into, though, I want to get into kind of this promotional thing that, you know, you want to talk about where, so you teamed up, well, I guess you kind of know some people, right? You know the CEO of 2K or Take-Two, that's your main investor. So how did then, with this new thing, how did you get in touch with Swansea to pull off what it is?
Sure. So a little backstory on how we got the company started. So we had tried to start that internet, you know, like skill-based cash gaming business when we were in college. And then we linked up. I'd worked a job that I didn't like. My partner was working a job he didn't like. And he was like, hey, I've got a dive bar across the street from my apartment that is going to let me start using the back room to host video game tournaments. And like, do you want to do this with me? Let's see if we can make a little money. So we just spent like $2,000 on a couple Xboxes and TVs and just started hosting, you know, bar room FIFA tournaments. And within a month, we had EA Sports as a sponsor because I met some dude and pitched him. And then within 6 months, we had AB InBev, which is like, you know, Budweiser. They were a sponsor, and they were paying us to host FIFA events all throughout New York City and even some in Toronto. So we started to get some traction with the event model, but it's a really hard business to scale. And if a company is not going to lay down a lot of money, or you don't have a lot of money to fund that yourself, it's a capital intensive business. So the CEO of Take-Two Interactive, I got in touch with him over a long period of time. I tried to meet him for like 5 years. So I'm pretty good at tracking people down.
That's not creepy, Zach. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, no. whether it's in a couple months or whether it's in a couple years, like if I'm interested in chatting with somebody, I'll figure out a way to make it happen. So what I found out with Swansea, this is a really crazy coincidence. So my aunt and uncle live in Short Hills, New Jersey, and this will all become relevant soon. So 2 years ago, my aunt and uncle were like, hey, there's this American guy who lives across the street from us, and he works in, like, you know, sports advertising sales. You should talk to him. And I was like, I don't know why I would talk to him. I'm not going to talk to him. Fast forward 2 years. I'm like, okay, why do I recognize this guy's name? Some American guy named Chris Perlman. He's the COO of Swansea.
Oh, man.
And they have an American ownership group, and all this cool stuff is going on. So I look the guy up, and it turns out that he had gone to the college that my partners and I went to, and that the CEO of Take-Two actually went to. So I was like, oh, wow, that's crazy. So I did a little more digging, and it turns out he'd also played soccer at Wesleyan, and that my aunt and uncle live across the street from him in Short Hills, New Jersey.
You guys are best friends already.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I get him on the phone, and I was like, you know, I got a friend to introduce me. And I get him on the phone, and I was like, oh, my God, like, Wesleyan, soccer, New Jersey. And it was just like, you know, I would have had to have been a real jerk to not give to not have this guy give me a chance. And we'd hosted a digital tournament with with New York City FC back in October. And it was, you know, free to enter digital tournament. 16 players qualified for a live finale outside of Yankee Stadium. As far as I know, that's the first esports event ever at Yankee Stadium, if you can call 16 bros playing FIFA outside of Yankee Stadium esports.
I'll give you credit.
Awesome.
Yeah, first ever, you know? So, got in touch with this guy, and he was like, you know, this sounds cool. I'll put you in touch with our marketing department. And so, you know, basically just that was, you know, 2 or 3 months ago. And so today, this morning at 2 a.m. Eastern time, 7 a.m. Welsh time, Swansea City AFC announced a project with Players Lounge, where it's a free-to-enter tournament. Anyone in the world can participate. There are PlayStation and Xbox tournaments leading up to the two days before Swansea City's home game. So the finalists from each tournament will get to compete in a championship on the Jumbotron at Swansea City Stadium 30 minutes before kickoff.
Wow.
So you know, you're used to playing FIFA like with your buddy, by yourself, maybe in a room full of your bros. You score a sweet goal. It's like, oh, that was great. Maybe you're a streamer. You got a couple hundred people watching you. But Liberty Stadium has, I think it's like 25,000 capacity.
Yeah.
They sell that sucker out because those Welsh go really hard for the Swans. And so these guys are going to be playing, you know, there's going to be a PlayStation game and there's going to be an Xbox game on the Jumbotron right before kickoff. And, you know, that's pretty exciting.
That's
a packed house. It'll certainly be the biggest, you know, FIFA event that these guys ever play in. So pretty cool stuff.
So that's going from March 31st, continuing on through Saturday, April 1st, according to Swansea's website.
So it is going to be the next 5 Swansea City home games. So they have, so we're doing like 5 sets of tournaments. So the first one is, as you mentioned, end of March to the beginning of April. Then there's another set of tournaments starting April 3rd, April 20th, May 4th, and then May 19th. And each of those tournaments is the same thing. You know, Xbox and PlayStation finalists get to play their game on the Jumbotron before kickoff.
And this is all online up to the Jumbotron game.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, there's an unlimited number of participants. We're hoping, you know, to get a couple hundred per tournament. And then, you know, the PlayStation and Xbox finalists will each get to play their game on the Jumbotron.
Yeah, and maybe Zach, maybe you're the good luck they need to stay out of relegation too this season.
Oh, I don't even think about the R word, because the second Players Lounge got involved with Swansea, they jumped out of the relegation zone.
Right. Yeah, they're 3 points out right now. So.
Oh yeah, they're gonna stay out. I'm confident.
So on that topic, I have to ask, what team do you support?
Chelsea.
Oh, God, we just became worse enemies.
What are you, an Arsenal hipster?
No, Man U.
No, he's worse. He's a Man U.
All right, look.
Real original.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm a huge fan of, I got into it, you know, Giggs, Scholes, sure. Sir Alex, you know, that's when I got into soccer. So, I mean.
When they were the best team in the world.
Yeah, but I mean, they're fun to watch and they're likable guys. You don't watch them and you're like, God, I hate this guy.
See, I like.
Likable guys?
Yeah, Paul Scholes was a little bit dirty with him, but hey, you know, you got to appreciate his grit, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's a ginger. I'm half ginger. I respect it.
See, this is why I root for Everton, because no one says anything.
That's true. And Tim Howard, you know, I'm down with the Toffees. They're great.
Yeah, and that's why I went with them, because of Tim Howard.
See, I'm the outcast of the group. Yeah. I'm a Borussia Dortmund fan, so I'm not even in the same league.
Ooh, well, you know, Christian Pulisic, you know, he's an American.
Amazing. The next big thing, hopefully, for us. Man, yeah, maybe, with Players Lounge, dude, our group was the same way. We were one of those groups that had like three TVs set up in our living room. You had either a Madden game, a FIFA game going on at all times. So this is definitely exciting stuff. I mean, I think it's something that I would definitely want to try out and see how my luck goes. Maybe against Brett, who knows?
It's not luck, Anoush. All right.
Well, that's one of the cool things.
Gaming, guys.
That's one of the cool things with Players Lounge is that at the root of it, it was a grassroots thing, right? It's the literally back of the bar is where it started. Like it's your old Cinderella story. It's not some giant company that didn't know gaming or esports. It started out as a couple of fans, give or take, wanted to start just playing video games.
Like basketball. Like that movie, right?
Honestly, it's exactly like basketball, and we just always came back to then we get the khakis, and that's what it came down to.
So, and you probably said it, the Swansea tournament, is that free?
It's free to enter.
So it's free to enter, so I could go, I could win, but people have to pay for travel expense, right?
Yeah, neither Swansea City nor Players Lounge is covering travel. But if you are a finalist and plan to attend the event, Swansea City is going to give you two tickets. So you and a plus one will get to attend the match.
And that's on my bucket list anyway.
So by the time that you qualify and win the tournament, you could probably save to fly out there. You're getting free tickets to a game that's probably not the cheapest. You are getting to play at the stadium on the Jumbotron.
In front of 25,000.
25,000. Who knows where esports is going? Maybe have a right. As stupid as this sound, maybe some scouts are watching. Maybe some sponsorships are watching, right? Start your FIFA career there.
Yeah.
It would be well worth it. Or better yet, if you're one of our European listeners, that's not very far.
Not very far at all.
You could qualify for this Xbox or PS4, and then, bam, you got it. And that's, let's see, is there anything else we're missing on then with that? You can go register, of course. That's playerslounge.co/SwanseaCityAFC. It does say here, no pressure, Zach, but to ask you guys for all the questions. So.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, you know, you can sign up in one click with your Facebook. We strongly encourage people to sign up with Facebook. You get a free deposit bonus. You get a free $2.50 for signing up with Facebook. When we built this website, there are other websites out there like this, but they feel a little scammy. And you know, that's an issue that we face, that our business faces every day. People are like, no way can you play your favorite sports games for money online. It can't be true. It's really true. It's my full-time job. It's my business. So we want people to sign up with their Facebook, A, because it's easier to join, and B, because the point of it is it's a social gaming platform. Mm-hmm. We're not just calling this, you know, the gaming casino, right? It's supposed to be the player's lounge where players go and hang out and play some video games and, you know, shoot the proverbial shit.
And if you have any questions, you spoke social. What's the Twitter? At Players
at
Lounge?
Underscore Players Lounge.
At
yeah.
Underscore Players Lounge. I think I have it pulled up right here. Facebook, I'm sure if I just look up Players Lounge, it will find it.
That's right.
Oh, phew. And then, follow the right account then.
Also, you are in our Discord, so if you have any questions or if you see Players Lounge in the TCR's Discord, that's Zach, right?
That's me.
That's not
that's me.
Just some imposter.
And I'm a big fan, not an imposter. I'm a big fan of the Discord. I'm not lying, guys. I've listened to every TCR episode. Started about mid-January and just binged my way through those episodes. I loved it. I don't play CSGO or like Hearthstone or a lot of other games, but you guys have been very educational and enlightening, so thank you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, no, dude, thank you for listening. That means a lot to us. You went through the ups and downs. Brandon passing away.
So I know. R.I.P. Brandon.
That was rough. That was rough on everyone.
Yeah, and if you're a pro Overwatch player, Brett, I need
you guys,
a
kill. Wow.
Yeah,
TCR Hydra.
I felt like they stepped in the roles pretty well.
I think so.
All right. Well, Zach, I don't want to waste too much more of your time, man. I just wanted to thank you again for listening and coming on the show, telling us a little bit about Players Lounge. Again, the website, playerslounge.co. You will sign up for the Swansea tournament. If you own FIFA on PS4 or Xbox One, even if you don't think you're that good, just never know. It's a free tournament. Like, what could be the downside? You both own FIFA on PS4, correct?
Yep, we do. Yep.
All right, so both of you have to go and do this.
And I'm going to get my $2.50 free money so I can bet that against Brett.
And then you could win that.
Thank you for your money, Anoush.
And then both of you get $5 for winning. And then you can multiply that. And then use that winnings to go to Swansea.
There we go.
There we go.
We just figured it out.
Right.
Just like that.
That's right.
All right, Zach.
And, yeah, thank you for having me. If anybody out there listening wants to sign up, if you put in promo code TCR, I will personally put $10 in your account so you can get gaming on the lounge.
We have our own promo code at Players Lounge. All right, well, we'll also
promo code.
We'll also tweet that out then. Promo code cool. TCR, full capitals. Does it matter?
All capitals.
All capitals. All capitals TCR, and that is playerslounge.co.
I'm hyped.
Zach Dixon, what do you prefer on Twitter? Do you have your, I know you have your personal Twitter, but you focus more on Players Lounge Twitter, right?
Yeah, my personal Twitter is more for like education. I'm kind of a lurker on Twitter.
Right.
So hit up Players Lounge, but you know, just at underscore Players Lounge on Twitter and Instagram.
All right. Awesome, Zach. Well, hey man, I appreciate you again coming on. If you're ever in the Dallas Fort Worth area, hit us up. Love to hang out with you and have a beer or
shoot the shit.
Whatever kids do. I don't know.
I would love to. Thank
right,
you
man.
For having me. It's been a real pleasure.
No appreciate problem, man.
You,
we'll see
all
you
right.
in the Discord.
Take care,
later.
Zach. See you, man.
All right.
And there you have it. Zach Dixon from Players Lounge. Again, I really wanted to thank Zach for coming on the show. Obviously, longtime listener, first time caller. Again, though, I think one of the most awesome things about all that is that it really is like a homegrown thing, which I always love more than like the manufactured one, if that makes sense.
I mean, you talk about the stars being aligned. That was awesome to hear his whole backstory and just how it's become what it is. And it's definitely something for everybody to go check out. If you're into any of those games, that's the platform to hop on and maybe make a little money. Who knows?
Yeah, and I'm rooting for him too. He's blue collar kind of dude.
That's what I was saying.
And he
has the hustle.
He's all in. He is all in. This is full time job. I'm rooting for him. I'm definitely going to join. I don't know about you guys. I want your $2.50.
$2.50. I'm going
to
get it.
Right, let's get into some e-news because there's a ton of things to get through here. Like, to start, you have a bunch of stand-ins right now going into Counter-Strike. A lot of, not roster moves, but, you know.
Fillers for now.
Fillers in, and we were going to talk a little bit about Hiko, but we decided to hold that off onto another episode because that's like a full-on segment. But you had Freakazoid standing in for Optic because Hiko is no longer a stand-in.
Which is weird to me. So you get rid of one guy that's quote-unquote toxic for the most toxic guy in CS. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I wouldn't say it's most toxic that bullying incident, but I feel like it's an interesting choice. He's been streaming a lot lately, as you know, if you've been on Twitch. I just think he's a popular name right now, and you know, he'll be the filler for him. I don't see that being a long-term fit.
No, was most recently there was an MM, and he was just typing in chat some things that we can't repeat on the air.
Yeah, Jason R. He filled in for Complexity and Optic, right?
Yeah.
Did that happen over the weekend? I've been kind of out of the loop over the weekend.
Yeah, no. So he actually played in the game. They did well. They won. They were 2-0. I forgot who they played against. Forgive me, but I don't have the teams pulled up. But yeah, he played well in both games, and you know, he's shown that he's a, you know, at least a good pug star. Let's see how he performs again, yeah, hopping onto a team, and I kind of wish him the best. Let's see how he does.
That dude is, I mean, he just like plows through. I mean, he grinds because I watch him at night when you know they're playing like rank S and stuff. But he grinds, man. He is like constantly on. I like him. He's a good player.
According to Decay, some Liquid roster moves might be happening here in the next week or so. I mean,
any speculation? I mean, we know it's not Rush and Mixwell like people were originally hoping or guessing or whatever.
Yeah, right,
because Rush was at MLG.
Yeah, well, and repping Optic. Hector, the owner of
Optic, he cut that
Optic,
off real quick.
He came out and said, well, he did say, though, they wanted to move, but then he talked to him and had him stay. So that's kind of cool, I guess, in the end. Dude, I would...
I don't see it being anything
JDM.
Exciting.
I'd say JDM.
He's been lacking, for sure.
I think I heard some people on Reddit and Twitter saying, oh, this is Pimp's going to leave. But I don't think Pimp is the issue. Like, I don't think... It's not that he's not, like, amazing. Pimp isn't helping, but he's also not the issue to me.
Pimp has been relatively consistent. It's been Nitro that's kind of been lagging the past few tournaments here.
I would say it's one of the more veteran players on the team, which is JDM or Nitro.
Yeah. Elige has played really well.
Well, yeah, Elige.
So you're not going to do anything with him.
Elige can drop those 40 bombs, so you're never going to...
Yeah, he's been playing great, and he's been consistent for a long time. Nitro, since he fell off, that duo of Elige and Nitro, their entry tag team duo, they were superstars, you know, when they were playing well with Simple, but Nitro's fallen off, and I could see that potentially being the move, too.
In Halo news, Team Beyond owner thinks ESL should be investigated for having an employee own a team.
That's big.
That is big. And we actually, was it Richard Lewis who said that, was it ESL was crunching down on owners who owned multiple teams?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that,
so
it's
the same thing, right? When you have an employee of your league owning a team, clearly that might raise some eyebrows as far as...
A conflict of interest.
A conflict of interest would be the most proper way. I'm not going to say he's fixing anything because I'd like to give people benefit of the doubt when it comes to fixing matches, when it comes to especially Halo, but conflict of interest could definitely be a thing.
If you've listened to the show before, this would be a good clutch a kick segment, and I would definitely clutch this to like hang on to it and just see where this goes because some interesting revelations could come out of that.
In the sense of it could affect a lot more than just the Halo community.
Yeah.
Like
I
mean, if it's ESL, like that could have a ripple effect into Counter-Strike, whatever. I mean, it could remap how owners work.
Well, they said they were taking this into potentially like a court-based issue.
Really?
And so there could be a lot more to this story that develops, and it'll just be interesting to see where it goes.
C9 announces funding by major sport investor, including Joe Montana and Hunter Pence.
Local Dallas native. Played at UTA, graduate from there, and
weird dude.
He's a cool guy. I went to UTA, so shout out to the Mavericks. But yeah, I mean, we're just getting bigger and bigger names hopping in at this point.
I did see who said it. Somebody said it on Twitter, so I don't want to take credit for this, but someone mentioned that esports is quickly becoming the new car wash of retired athletes. which I kind of agree with. Was it
Thorne?
No.
He came out and said, "Oh, the two most overrated
right,
players."
Yeah, that was tongue in cheek, though. Yeah. I wasn't even getting baited by that one. But I kind of agree with the sentiment that, and I've said it here on the show before, that I don't get hyped over investors because it's just that's what rich people do, right?
They throw some money at something, see if it takes
off. They throw some money, see if it hits.
But
and they see all their other rich friends doing it, so they're going
to
do it.
As an athlete, you know, these guys like to stay competitive by nature even after retirement. So maybe this is something fun for them to dive into and, you know, feel like they're still a part of some sort of community in that sense.
Yeah, and maybe they, you know, they see something because, you know, they're throwing in on the cheap when it could become this big thing.
I can buy Hunter Pence being into it. Joe Montana, I cannot imagine he really knew
he's
much.
You don't think
he's a closet Halo player?
No,
or something
I
like that?
Do not think so.
But you're
I,
seeing people like Jeremy Lin and Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward plays for the Utah Jazz, and he just got a sponsorship by HyperX, which that's pretty cool. So you're seeing this cross community happen with the younger generation now becoming athletes that's grown up in our world, you know, being involved
in fact, Jeremy Lin's a pretty good Dota player, right?
I'm
yeah, he plays
sure.
Dota too. He's like a heavily involved.
I'm pretty sure Hunter Pence, yeah, okay. I just Googled it because, yeah, Hunter Pence I know is a big esports fan because he's like works with C9. Yeah.
The jersey that he was repping a jersey.
That was him, yeah, that was him on Twitter where it's like he went to their thing and he's got a Pence C9 jersey. So that one, like I said, I can buy and everything, but. Again, I think the majority of the these big investors
anything, it helps that bridge between people that say sports and esports are two different brands and there's no connection to them. It's bridging that gap a little bit, and you're seeing that interest come from both sides now.
I agree with that.
Yep, I can't argue that one. Here's another news, Launders joins Yahoo Esports.
Why? Why? I love it. Why are you saying it like that?
Saying, like what? I'm just saying that Launders joined the esports.
Oh, you're messing with the news boy. But no, he has a little bit more personality on his stream. I watch him every once in a while. But
I love Launders, but there's no denying the fact that when he really first started,
it was robotic.
He kind of did interviews like this. No. You like going to the B site?
I think it's a definitely a good win for Yahoo, though, to have him as part of the team because he's truly is loved by the community. So I think that's pretty awesome.
You triggered Anoush.
I might be.
You did trigger me a little bit right there.
I might be over.
Launders, you're my boy.
I
got you.
Overplaying the way
I'll always fight for you.
You know, here's this. I'm not so full disclosure here. I did not set up eNews today because I was busy traveling. So Anuj set it up, and I'm going to say
this
is this
racial.
Not coincidence. No, you.
I know where you're about to go with this.
You made it racial.
Hey, that's why he said this is the best show yet.
Because I leave eNews in charge, or I leave Anuj and eNews for one episode, and we all of a sudden have two stories about Indians.
Okay.
You have Launders, and now MTV is to broadcast UCypher. India's first esport leagues for Dota 2 and CSGO, also to be on Twitch and YouTube. Indian investor Ronnie
Skruvala
pledged $15 million to launch India's first major esports league.
Look, baby, it's branching out. I'm happy it's going somewhere else. Fact that it's India
is
just
be the
a
face?
Bonus.
Are you
know what?
Be the face?
I'm about to go
you...
play for Team India
right,
right. now.
Why
it's
don't
about
you get
happen.
In on this?
Well, I think you maybe
dual
they
citizenship
need you.
Is a real possibility for me right now. So
God. I mean, why don't we have we could be the official UCypher podcast right now? Why don't you get some connections,
Ronnie? If you're listening, which you probably are, we would love to have you on the show at some point to discuss this a little further.
There's got to be some Indian. Dot not feather, right?
Yeah, dot not feather.
Okay,
bro.
Just wanted to make sure that I was interpreting this correctly. And then, this is kind of relevant news. DreamHack signs with Twitch to broadcast through the year 2017.
Well, after ESL and ECS are both going with YouTube, it's about time Twitch stepped in and locked somebody up.
Right, and it's stopping the bleeding because YouTube took ESL and ECS, which is kind of a big deal considering Twitch helped start the ECS.
Yeah.
So when the fact that they left Twitch, you kind of helped them start up, it was that threw red flags. Like, is Twitch not taking this serious enough?
Yeah, maybe Twitch was like, yeah, sure, go, whatever. Take your ball and run.
Well, Twitch
they just took the ball and ran.
Right, and that's one good thing, too, because at first I was like, well, YouTube's Google. Like, you can't fight that money, but then Twitch is Amazon, so they have money to do
They're
it.
They're both okay. Yeah.
Now, I do know that we've talked to some people, Brett, where they were mentioning how, well, it's because Twitch doesn't show as much love to them, right? Yeah. Like, Twitch is caring more about the Twitch brand and the streamers as opposed to the leagues tournaments and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
My counter to that is YouTube gaming is even worse because you can follow them on YouTube. You can go to YouTubeGaming.com. You can go to the live channel on YouTubeGaming.com. And there's still a chance you don't even see the tournament going on. Like, you have to go to Counter-Strike. And then, like, even then, it's showing some random dude with, like, 3 viewers on the front page being featured.
The navigation is terrible.
Let's just hope they fix that
really
up.
Really bad,
up,
man. YouTube gaming is really bad. So I'm glad that DreamHack is sticking with Twitch. Just for the sake that I don't have to watch everything on YouTube gaming. But that is it for E-News. Anuj, I thank you so much for your contributions.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Your people's contributions.
For you, the world.
I expect to see you pro Indian player here coming up. When does that start?
Ucypher?
Yeah. Or did you just copy and paste the headline?
Oh, man.
No, it was like 90% copy and paste the headline for sure.
Okay. I mean, at least you admit. That's all I ask. Episode 54 is just about done. I thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Again, go check out Player Lounge. Or Players Lounge. What is it? I got it right up here.
PlayersLounge.co.
Players with an S.
Yeah.
PlayersLounge.co. Join in on that action. Use TCR in full caps for your promo code. Get $10. Think about you use that $10. You can bet someone.
Plus the $250 for signing up for the Swansea tournament.
Signing up for Swansea. Dude, you could get like $24. Just like that, and then you use that 24, start up your own business, buy your lady something nice. I don't know, whatever you want to use that money for. Go to Detroit, spend it in a casino, and lose it. That's what I did.
Buy more foot packs.
What happens in Detroit stays in Detroit.
Nothing happens in Detroit.
Follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring for all the latest. You can hit us up on Discord. We're always there chatting it up, doing things. We have a CSGO server. I'll tweet out the IP address in case people are interested in that. Our website, tcr.gg. That's where you find all the past episodes, some out-of-date YouTube videos. There's a little contact us now. If for whatever reason you want to send us an email with anything, that's where you do that. We'll be back next week, though, for episode 55. Until then, thank you so much for listening to The Center Ring, and we'll talk to you next time.